From the Lind Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the third day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And then a bit later in the program, we'll be joined by Matt Bennett from TGM to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. And Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather from Chicago will be along to discuss the weather forecast as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago for this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. The nearby contract for the December corn up a quarter cent at $4.39¼. March contract at $4.52 up a quarter, and the May futures $4.60¼, a half cent higher. July futures $4.67½ up a half. September $4.73¼ up 0.75¢. And December of next year at $4.80¾ up a half cent. November beans $12.88¼ up 14½. January futures at $12.89, 13¼ higher. And the March contract at $12.70¾ up 13¼. May futures $12.50½, 11½ cents higher. July futures $12.45 up 11, and next year's November at $11.70 up 11 cents. Bean meal futures at $4.27.80 up $10.20, and the bean oil at $40.00, 89 cents higher. July futures for the soft red winter wheat at $7.08¾. That's actually the 2015 contract was up 9. The 2014 contract at $6.91½ up 9¾. July hard red at $7.55¼, a nickel higher for the day. Checking the livestock numbers, the nearby contract and the live cattle, that's the October futures, $127.42½ up 12½. December down a nickel at $131.77½. The feeder cattle finished the October at $164.10. That's down 47½ cents. November at $165.62½, 57½ lower. And lean hog futures at $93.30 per 100 pounds, up 35 cents. December futures 60 higher. They finished at $86.77½. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. It does come to you from the College of Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The closing market report can be found online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day are trading the November contract at $102.96 a barrel, down $1.14. November gasoline, that's the wholesale price, the RBOB, at $2.63¢ is 4¢ lower. Rather, that's 0.4¢ higher. Ethanol futures at $1.88¼, up 9¢. And natural gas at $3.50¢, down 3¢. Diesel fuel, 0.3¢ higher, $2.99¢. And the gold futures at $1,317.40 an ounce, down $3.10. The U.S. dollar slipped again, down 0.14 at 79.75 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers, some thunderstorms, a 30% chance of coverage for the day, 83 degrees tonight. Scattered showers and thunderstorms will continue, those all coming before 2 a.m., partly cloudy with a low of 66. On a south wind at 9 to 11, gusting to 15, chance of precipitation in the area this evening at 30%, and mostly sunny skies tomorrow with a high of 87 degrees. On a south wind at 8 to 14, gusting to 20 miles an hour. Friday evening, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. That'll come way late into the early morning hours, around 2 a.m. Partly cloudy with a low of 65 degrees, a south wind at 9 to 13, and then showers and thunderstorms likely on Saturday, mainly after 2 in the afternoon, Central Time. Mostly cloudy at a high of 79 degrees. On a southwest wind at 9 to 14, gusting all the way to 18. Chance of precipitation Saturday set at 60%. Saturday night, the showers and thunderstorms will continue at a 60% level right through 2 a.m. and then a 40% chance of showers on Sunday. It will clear out with a partly sunny sky and 63. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, this is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Dan Zwicker is on the phone line with us from CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Todd.
And what have you been hearing about harvest across the Midwest for corn and beans?
Well, it's moving slow. Guys seem to be, I guess, wanting to wait for it to kind of dry down a little bit more, but it is, you know, chugging along. We keep hearing, you know, yield reports, which are mostly way above expectations. And, you know, that's kind of weighing on the market, at least here in the short run here.
I made a run to Elkhart to meet Dad at the tavern last night for supper. And it looked to me like the only folks that were moving were probably the no-tillers and maybe the big, big guys. I didn't see that many combines rolling. I was a little surprised that it was not moving with rainfall coming in, but guess you're right. They're waiting, and when the incentives go away, that is the drying and the quick shifts, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I don't, you know, to my understanding, a lot of this stock is pretty weak. So, you know, if we get into a windy fall, rainy storm, I'm not too sure how much of it will be standing. So it would make me a little nervous, I think, waiting around to harvest corn. Mm-hmm. But everybody has their own way of doing things.
Yeah, well, I looked last night, actually, because I went out to the field and took some stalks out for my mailbox, of course, because I could. and you know what? They're small. those stocks were really small. I was surprised. They didn't fall over immediately, but it wouldn't take too much of a wind. In fact, we talk a little bit later in the program with Mike Tenor about that. I recorded him earlier this morning. So he thinks that the winds, if they come with this last storm, this current storm set that's coming through now, will be in the western United States. And they may be in more hurt than we are here in our part of the world, I would guess.
Well, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like the corn stock used all of its energy and every ounce of moisture it had in it and fed it up into the ear, because we are getting some excellent yields anyway from what I've heard anyway. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we're maybe in one of these stages where everybody's trying to beat one another on yields and picking out the high ones on the yield monitor, but there is no doubt about it. There's awfully good yields out there.
Well, the only time you want the low one is when you're golfing, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I got another question for you. Since we're in the harvest price setting month of October, what do you think the average December corn price for the month might be? Got a guess?
Well, I guess I'd go off. I'd say we're probably going to be in this 440 range to 450. There is a period. I mean, corn does have a tendency to kind of strengthen out of an early October low, maybe rally into November, then it falls back again into early December. But I think since we're running so far behind harvest, and since the yields are coming in better than expected, I guess what kind of seasonal bounce that we could generate maybe out of an early October low, I think it's going to be fairly limited. So I don't, unless we got ourselves into a real weather mess where it would start delaying harvest and really slow down harvest, my guess is that we're going to be in this 440, maybe even down to the 4.25 area.
All right. Well, those are two numbers that Gary Schnitke put on the website at Farm Doc Daily this afternoon.
So we're on the same page?
This is on insurance coverage levels.
Oh, so, insurance coverage. Yeah, so is that where the payment starts?
Yeah,
somewhere
so
in there?
Here are the payouts. All right. So at 75% coverage level and 180 bushel the acre, nothing at 425, 440, or 460.
Right.
80% coverage level at 425, $49, $22 at 440, and nothing at 460. This is 100 bushels, 180 bushels the acre. And then at 85, you're at 99, $75 payout at 425, 72 at 440, and 36 at 460. So there's some numbers. You can find those, of course, on the Farm Doc Daily website. Gary Schnicki just posted that this morning, and I thought it was fairly interesting, and producers listening might be interested in knowing what those numbers look like. They'll help out if you're at 440 and 425, that's for sure.
I haven't heard anything under 200, so.
Oh, wait, let's see. Let me look. 0000000. Oh, you know what? At 85%, there's a $14 payout for
$14 payout.
Yeah, at $4.25.
Now, the guys tell me the grip policy is likely to pay out, but it's an expensive. I think the people that bought grip may get their money back. That's about what it amounts to, I think.
Yeah, well, let's take up the markets as they stand for the day. Anything really changing other than folks are looking out and seeing, you know, 185, 190, 200, 220 corn and 60 bushel beans?
No, I mean, that's the balance sheet just appears like it's going to get horrible. I mean, USDA did find 163 million more bushels of corn for beginning stocks on Monday's report. So that's, you know, that's worth almost a bushel and a half yield or, you know, a million acres of corn. That kind of is going to add up. And then, you know, if this yield, like FC Stone came in there with 150-80-ish, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Informa Economics comes out with 160 tomorrow. But they will, I think, attempt to make some kind of adjustment on acreage. So they may not end up with a bigger crop than FC Stone. FC Stone left acreages the same. They didn't make any attempt to adjust for that. But the Informa Economics number tomorrow is going to adjust acres downward. So it'll be interesting to see what, but my guess is they'll be plenty high. They have a tendency to be on the high side. So I think there'll be some pretty, you know, there'll be a bearish report. Now, there's a lot of talk with the partial shutdown that we might even end up canceling the October report and just wait on the November report to come out, depending upon how things play out. That will throw a curveball in a lot of people's positioning. And my guess is if they're positioned for a bearish report and if USDA would end up canceling that report, I think you'd probably see some people move into the sidelines. It might even stir up a short covering rally.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see whether that gets lifted or not. I suppose Washington, D.C. is shut down at the moment, and they're supposed to be doing the survey work at this time, so it might be pretty tight if they actually, even if they were to go to back to work now, it would get pretty tight pretty fast.
Well, I don't, from what I can understand, and watching TV, I don't think there's much hope anybody's going to go back to work anytime soon.
Yeah, well, then we won't have reports, will we?
No, I've always been in the opinion that we needed to do away with USDA reports anyway, so maybe I might get my wish here for October.
Well, that's a good one. Okay, how about soybeans? What's the export market look like from your end?
Well, soybean meal interest started picking up. That's what prompted soybeans up a little bit here the last day or two. We are seeing a pickup of soybean meal interest in the export markets. I think the weather system is coming in the Midwest, cold, wet, damp, you'll slow down soybean harvest with rain. Corn, it doesn't make a lot of difference unless it's really a dandy. But those two things and an oversold technical condition kind of came in and kind of rallied these beans. But we still have to, on both corn and soybeans, my guess is we need to kind of get above this. We kind of got to get above somewhere around $13, really, to dress up the soybean chart picture to kind of give us a shot at a decent short covering rally. Corn, we kind of need to kind of get above that double bottom formation that was kind of holding for a while, which would basically take a close above 448. I think something like that would happen. Then we could probably begin to argue that there's a kind of a decent short covering rally, at least in play. But my guess is that the basis levels will probably widen if you got the futures to rally anyway.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. You know, most children have probably been told at one time or another by frustrated parents, eat your vegetables. In My Backyard's Lisa Braltz visits with one farmer's market next that teaches kids veggies are far more interesting if you know where they come from.
Kids not having access to a home garden in season doesn't mean there aren't other opportunities for them to learn about where their food comes from. In fact, I'd argue that learning about the provenance of food in an environment that isn't school or home, where the teachers are neither classroom teachers using a curriculum nor parents with a vegetable eating agenda, might be the most effective way to teach kids about it. Sprouts at the Market is kids' nutrition and farm linkage programming for young children at Urbana's Market at the Square in Urbana, Illinois. Full disclosure here, I was the market's director at the time the program was developed in partnership with then U of I dietetics student Jennifer Hewitt in 2008. We knew we wanted kids to have something to do at the market, and we became fond of the idea of having young kids meet their vegetables, to start having a relationship with their food, and to have their caregivers take part. Jen now works in Springfield as a clinical dietitian in the NICU at St. John's Hospital, but she came back to visit Sprouts and to reminisce about the old days.
Having parents and caregivers not be afraid to try new things, I think that's huge. I mean, I think we saw that over and over again at the market with Sprouts at the Market. You know, it kind of went both ways, actually. In a way, we were preaching to the choir over there because we had parents who were already at the market with their children there. On the other hand, I had many, many, many instances where a parent would say after the program was over, I had no idea he would eat tomatoes.
Sprouts at the Market doesn't just survive, it thrives. Once a month during most of the market season, kids wend their way through the market, parents or other caregivers in tow, visiting information stations catering to both the child, who usually gets to taste an in-season fruit or vegetable at each stop, and to the grown-ups, who receive nutritional information about the sampled items and tips on preparation from the registered dietitians who prepare the handouts and are on-site to answer questions. Participating farmers donate produce for sampling and are happy to answer questions, ranging from queries about how many chickens the farmer has to why their carrots are yellow, not orange. By using the market as the point of education, kids, especially the repeat visitors, get a sense of the rhythm of the food production year in our part of Illinois. On a sunny Saturday morning just a few weeks ago, the market's manager, Natalie Kenny Marquez, explained that day's Sprouts activity.
Today is our Sprouts at the Market event with our partner, the Great Pumpkin Patch from Arthur, Illinois, and they're here to present the theme From Dirt to Dessert and Beyond. And so we have stations set up that allow kids about the ages of 3 to 8 years of age go around and learn all about the dirt, so the Illinois soil, which is super rich and wonderful, especially for growing pumpkins and other squash, things like that. And then from then they move on to the next table, which is a rainbow of squash. We also have an A to Z of squash today. And then the kids finish off at the Homestead Bakery, which is a part of the Great Pumpkin Patch, and they have pumpkin cookies. So that's where the dessert part of From Dirt to Dessert and Beyond comes in.
I headed into the market to find Matt Condell, the manager of the 200 Acres, which is home to the Great Pumpkin Patch. He's a well-known expert on kirkabits, pumpkins, and squash. And today he's easy to spot. He's tall, he's wearing a bright orange t-shirt and a hat, and he's also a dad. So holding court with several kids at a table filled with a different squash for every letter of the alphabet, which he's doing when I find him, is second nature to him. He believes getting kids interested in food at an early age is crucial.
We were just talking about this on the drive up. I think it's important to get kids at an early age because I think people take for granted where the food comes from. They think it comes from the big chain store or the whatever. You know, you can go buy food in a package, plastic package, and that's how it comes. And that's certainly not the case. And anyone who sits down and thinks about it for 2 seconds and realizes that there are producers behind this, there are farmers behind this, there's planning, there's sweat, there's tears, there's blood. And so if we can get the kids at a younger age to start being cognizant that their food just doesn't you know, land on the table or in their laps in the car out of a bag, then we're going to create more educated consumers, which will hopefully in turn help support local producers.
What does the future hold for Sprouts? Kenny Marquez is already planning for Sprouts 2014.
We're meeting here shortly to talk about the dates and the topics and things we're going to do. And actually, I've had adults come to me and ask if they could participate in a Sprout-style event. So maybe we should do a Sprouted event for the adults, because I know we could all learn a little bit more, and it's a lot of fun. So things to come for sure.
Sprouts for the Kids isn't done yet, though. The end of the gardening season might be here, but Sprouts will tackle composting for kids in the final session for the season this Saturday. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks go to Lisa Braltz and to Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, for our In My Backyard segments. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us for Thursday afternoon, Matt Bennett at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers busy still today, or did you get enough rainfall to take them out of the field?
Well, we had a little shower, of course. I know a lot of people did, and guys are just getting a little bit of a start. Just started getting some corn in here in the last hour, actually.
Mm-hmm. So they're back in the field. How far along are you, 10 or 15% in your area?
I'd say we're a little farther along than that, just depending on the farmer. A lot of guys start picking corn, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, just making a little bit of progress here and there. And I've got guys that are that say that they're 40-50% done on corn, but haven't done much on beans yet. So, and there's a few beans that have been cut around here, but area-wide, I'd say we're more like 20-25%.
How's the basis holding up for both commodities?
Well, you know, obviously we went through a bloodbath there for a while, and then we actually picked up a little bit of basis here earlier this week on our beans. Corn hadn't really done a whole lot, haven't lost much or gained much. So right now we're kind of at a standstill.
Gut slot expected next week?
Oh, I don't know what to expect for next week. I mean, are we going to have a report to look at? Or
on Friday, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I doubt it. So I'm just asking whether you think you'll have a whole lot of folks in the field next week.
Okay. Well, you know, next week, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think that you're going to have everything from wet corn to dry corn to beans, you know. So I think you're going to have a mixed bag. Everybody's going to be doing something next week, I think, in full force.
Yeah. Does that mean basis will tank a bit again?
I have a feeling that we're going to have to lose just a little bit more basis, both on corn and beans moving forward. It sure seems that way, and I've got that feeling, and I don't see guys hunting for stuff like they were.
And what is your current cash bid? How far under are you?
Well, we're bidding 20 under on corn.
Okay, and for beans?
For beans right now, we're 25 under.
And what does that make your bids?
Well, you know, 419, 420 there on cash corn, and then for Jan, 435, and then in the 1265 area on cash beans, and then 1280 for Jan.
All right. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from willag.org. That's willag.org. Back in just 2 minutes, we'll talk about the ag weather forecast with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
It's National Caramel Custard Day. Ancient Roman cooks were the first to recognize the binding properties of eggs, and food historians generally agree that custard dates to the Middle Ages. By the way, in the last decades of the 19th century, custards were advertised as a health food. Bring on the chocolate pudding. It's also St. Clair of Assisi Day, patron saint of good weather. On this day in agricultural history in 1803, John Gorey was born. an American physician. He was an early pioneer in the invention of the artificial manufacture of ice, refrigeration, and air conditioning. In 1830, George Brayton was born, an American engineer. He invented the first commercial gas internal combustion engine, the principles which later became the basis for the turbine engine. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln declared that Thanksgiving Day would be an annual event celebrated on the last Thursday in November. In 1899, the first motorized vacuum cleaner was patented by John S. Thurman. And in 1941, the first aerosol can was patented by two U.S. Department of Agricultural researchers, L.D. Goodhue and W.N. Sullivan. They were looking for a way to apply oil-free insecticides in mushroom houses. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago is on the phone line. Mike, a little rainfall earlier in the day, and it looks like it's just kind of the first round of a series of showers that may pop up in our area. What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, well, we have a very large and wet storm system that's moving eastward right now. And actually, the core of the storm is still far off to the west in the Rocky Mountains. So we'll be dealing with areas of rain and thunderstorms not only today and tonight, but all the way through Sunday. Now, it's not going to rain the entire time, so there will be dry periods mixed in. But just across the Corn Belt, we're looking for widespread rainfall of around 1 inch for most areas over the next 3 to 4 days, with much heavier amounts just off to the west and north of central Illinois. The axis of heavy rainfall is a bit difficult to figure out at this point, but it looks like it will set up somewhere from eastern Nebraska through Iowa, northern Illinois, and points to the north where, you know, total rainfall could locally exceed 3 to 4 inches, which would be a very large rain event, especially considering how dry it's been over the last several months. So a very, I wouldn't say an unusual situation, but it seems unusual given just the lack of rain over the last several months.
Now, the rainfall is welcomed and unwelcomed at this time of year, but I'm wondering more about wind that might be involved with these storms. During dry seasons, the corn plant will put all of its energy into creating a kernel rather than a stalk, and standability of the corn crop may be okay at best, is my guess.
Well, the winds will increase as we go into the weekend, and especially once we get into Sunday across Illinois. Once the main system finally ejects eastward from the Rockies on Saturday, we'll see the main surface level system intensify somewhere over Kansas and Nebraska. Then that'll move on to the northeast into Minnesota. Ahead of that system, we'll see a tight wind gradient develop, which will pull winds northward from the south. But generally, southerly winds have a difficult time getting real strong at this time of the year because warm air is fairly light. So as the winds are coming in from the south, the air is naturally rising. It's the cold winds that are the strong ones because that air is heavy, and as the air is moving southward, it's sinking and hugging the ground. So the real strong winds with this event will be further to the west across Iowa, Minnesota, the Dakotas, into Nebraska. So that's where that type of issue, I think, will be a larger concern. But there will be some strong winds, no doubt, with this event. But for Illinois, it steadily gets breezier through tomorrow, with the highest winds most likely when the cold front comes through sometime Saturday night or Sunday.
Does the weather open up for field conditions next week?
Well, it turns sharply warmer next week, so we will see considerable drying for at least 3 or 4 days after this system exits. The only real question is whether or not warming is going to occur in front of another big storm system that will head into the region around Friday of next week, or if we'll just see a return to what we had earlier, which is just a long period of warm and fairly dry weather. At this point, we would just say the chance for rain late next week is low, but that is something that needs to be followed. It's a little bit early to have high confidence in the weather forecast 7 to 8 days from now.
Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.